Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to yet another fantastic live episode of Dream Business Radio. I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the dream business coach. This is episode 610. After almost 12 years of podcasting, this is actually my final episode of Dream Business Radio. And people go, you're going to miss it? A little bit, but then it's a lot of work, but so is everything that's worthwhile, right? I'm wrapping up this month, June, by interviewing four entrepreneurs who have inspired me in immense ways, and I saved the best for last. So welcome back to Dream Business Radio, Jessica Rhodes.
Hi, this is something. This is the end of an era right here.
It's a little surreal. I know it's starting to take its effect. But anyway, if you're brand new or somehow you stumbled across this interview, Jessica is my daughter. So if it seems like I'm beaming with pride from what she's accomplished, now you get that. I'm proud of all my clients, but you know, we got the whole father-daughter thing going. So I told Jessica, don't even send me your professional bio, because I don't even think you do that many interviews anymore, right?
Oh no, I'm back to three interviews a month. I have my team booking me, so I took a little break for a while, but no, I'm out there.
So I'm gonna do my best to tell your story just out of my head, because I think I know it pretty well. And if I get anything wrong, I'll give you a chance to fix it up. But this is so here we go, folks. About 11 years ago now, Jessica and her husband Jamie came to our house for Thanksgiving in Pennsylvania. They live in Rhode Island, and Jessica was at the time pregnant with Nathan, our first grandson. And Jessica said, "Boy, I'd love to be a stay-at-home mom like Stephanie, her mom, but it's going to be hard to make ends meet on just one salary." I said, "Oh, why don't I just teach how to be a VA? What's that, virtual assistant?" And I said, "I'll be your first client, and if we get things going, I can certainly introduce you around." So Jessica started out doing sales calls for No Hassle Newsletters when she started working for me. That was still really rocking and rolling. She became our fulfillment house for people that were ordering my various books. And it was around this time that I had kind of, I want to say, come off the road. I was doing a lot of speaking engagements, and I was just getting tired of travel. I said to my friend and mentor, Adam Urbanski, I said, "I'm getting really tired of all the travel." He goes, "Well, I'm not going to imitate his accent," but he goes, "Jim, why don't you just stay home and do podcast interviews or something?" And I said, "That's pretty cool." And so I said, "Jessica, here's a new role. Let's put this to the top of everything you're doing for me." And she started booking me on all these shows. I think at the time I'd written at least four books. So, and I had a pretty good track record of, you know, doing some interviews and things like that. So wasn't like I was a hard sell, but she was very good at getting me on a lot of different shows. And then I think it was May or June, Stephanie and I are up in Rhode Island, and Jessica and I went for a walk with Nathan, who's probably, I'm guessing, 2 months old or 3 months old at that point. March birthday, right, Jess?
Yeah, so it was May, because you guys were up for Mother's Day.
Okay, cool. And Jess and I are walking around, and I think you're only 6 months in, and your original goal to me was, "I just want to replicate the salary that I made, then I'll be stay at home." Well, the entrepreneurial bug bit Jessica big time, because about 3 or 4 months in, she goes, "Well, this is nice and all, but I'd really like to make a lot more money." And I said, "I have three questions for you." Now, folks, if you haven't heard this, these are writer downer questions. These are like super coach questions. I said, "I'm going to ask you three questions. Of all the things that you do for me, one, what do you enjoy the most? Because that's really important. What do you think is the most profitable? And what do you think has the greatest growth potential?" And without missing a beat, Jessica said, "Well, that's easy, booking you on podcasts." And I said, "It's interesting. Podcasts are certainly exploding, and exploding in like whenever that was is nothing compared to today, right?" And I said, "Jessica, you know what you are? You're like the interview connector," or I said something similar to that. So she got out her iPhone, went to GoDaddy, and ultimately we came up with interviewconnections.com there on that walk. And then the rest is history. How did I do so far?
You did pretty well. Yeah, that was spot on.
So what I thought was funny, well, there's some background for everybody, but what I thought was really interesting was Jessica was just so motivated, and the house that they lived in at the time was like a tiny house. I don't know if it was called that, but it was pretty small. And one of the first things you did, probably wasn't the first thing you did, but you decided to get an office. You rented an office down the road in Warwick. And I thought, of course, being the dad, I now understand why my dad was so worried about my older brother, Bob, when he left a perfectly good situation. And I'm like, Jessica, you're doing good. You don't need the expense, but you went and got an office. Why did you do that? And then how did that change for you?
Yeah. Well, first, I just want to add in one little anecdote, because you said, you know, started doing sales. The first thing, because I'll never forget this, when I started doing virtual assistant work, you asked me to check the links on your newsletter business website. Okay. And so I was clicking links, and I'm like, I was a director of an office, and now I am clicking links.
My dad's got me clicking links.
But it was such a lesson in... just it was a humbling moment, but it was like, you know, once that switch flips of like, I'm doing this for my family, for my baby, it's not about me being front and center. I'm just going to do whatever it takes. It literally started with, I'm going to click links. And then that has led to, you know, leading an entire industry. So just, yeah, I just thought that's a great anecdote. I'll never forget clicking links, being like, cool.
I forgot that. Oh my gosh. You know, but the funny thing is, before we go to the moving into your new office, you know, I also said, you got to read my books. You got to watch my videos. I was doing videos at the time because I need you to know my voice when I'm really putting out information. And I thought, well, that must've been painful for you to do that for your dad, you know, not just a client, but it really helped you, I think.
It absolutely did. Yeah. And then getting the office, it's funny. I've been kind of nostalgic and looking back at YouTube videos that I did for Interview Connections TV back in the day. And as Nathan started getting older, it was becoming a lot more difficult to work from home because my husband, Jamie, was out. He was working outside the home. And so I would try to work when Nathan was napping or at nights on weekends, but it was just becoming difficult. So we did invest in a nanny. So we had Carol coming and taking care of Nathan, but she was home with him, and the house wasn't like a tiny home. It was just a little starter two bedroom, three bedroom house. And so I really, when I set that goal initially of like, I want to have a six figure business, which there's a whole story in and of itself there with like joining your mastermind group and claiming that goal, I needed the business to have its own space outside of the house. There was just something about giving it its own space. And then I don't really remember that, but
I remember I said, you know, you got to start doing videos and podcasting. And I remember I got a little logo for your wall that was behind your first little podcast studio, which was pretty fun. The other thing, which you said, I want to have a six figure business, right? And you said, I really think I could do that faster if I joined your mastermind. So you'd be great in the mastermind. So sign up, get your credit card out, which kind of like, what dad? No, my kids have always earned their way. I think that's just a life lesson. But and Jessica, I don't think you mind me sharing this, but it's part of your backstory, but you hit that like in 8 or 9 months, I think you were at six figures. I mean, rapid growth.
It was rapid growth. And setting that goal was scary at first because this was like 2013. So started the company, you know, May 2013 is when we came up with the idea, fall of 2013. By December, and, you know, I had been like, you were letting me be a fly on the wall of the mastermind. So I wasn't like in the mastermind group, but you were letting me listen, which was giving me kind of a taste of it. And I started having that goal of having a six-figure business. And at the time, I was so early on, I thought like anyone that made six figures, like they were rich like that. I had trouble saying that out loud, like six figures. And I remember like Adam Homey was on the call. Like I remember, I think Lindsay Phillips was there on that mastermind call saying, this is my goal, introducing myself. That was such a moment.
I think you got emotional actually. It seemed huge.
It was huge. And then, you know, you're like, all right. And I remember you said it, you can hit that just do what I say. And I was like, okay.
I remember that too. And she said, well, I think when I said that, so you hit six figures and then you said, okay, I've grossed, you know, over 100,000 in revenue. I want to net six figures. How do I do that? I said, I know it's going to be painful for you, but you're going to have to do everything I tell you to do. And then
Dad, I don't even remember that because I don't think I was really, I mean, maybe I believe you if you say I did it, but I don't remember ever, like, I think I was just so focused on gross for so long because it took a while to then understand profit. And right. Like, because my expenses, I think I was just investing. I was pulling out that credit card, going to conferences, just growing. And then it took a while to kind of balance out and realize, you know, it took several years to realize, okay, am I profitable?
Sometimes you have to do that. Many times you have to do it in business. You just keep investing, plowing all new revenue. And I think you, because it's like you really want that snowball to build momentum. So a big turning point we touched on a minute ago, and I thought you were really good at it. And you started doing videos. And because you know, Nathan was just always there in the early day, you just started going out for walks mm-hmm. and you made Nathan part of it, which I thought was cute. And people, I think that was like the turning point for me, as you know, was when I started having walking the dogs, you know, first Toby and then Blue and we went kayaking and I put my tripod. When you make them something different other than standing in front of your bookcase trying to be Mr. or Mrs. Professional, right? And you just really started relating and sharing some of the information and you really built quite a following, right? And then you started podcasting right after that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The videos were key because nobody was talking about this stuff. So I just pulled out, I mean, it's so funny to think about how much has changed like in technology. I mean, I had my little camcorder, you flip out the little screen. I mean, now you can imagine using, obviously like high end YouTubers are using a separate camera, but now it's just like, we just use our iPhone. There's excellent quality on the iPhone, but I had my little camcorder and would hold it up on the stick thing, a little selfie stick tripod, and would just take it out on walks and just create content. Didn't overthink the quality and just get the content out there. And now it's funny. I'll look back and I'm like, oh my God, it's like embarrassing when you look back at your old videos.
It is embarrassing.
But it worked. Gosh. And then I started my podcast in 2014. You know, was getting interviewed on podcasts. It's just like one thing leads to the next. But the key was always just implementing. Just listen to your coach. Do what your coach says. Don't overthink it. Just keep going.
Yep. And I, if you remember another turning point, there's so many, I tried to write a couple notes, but you were going to some of the Glazer Kennedy events with me. We went to a Malincheck, I think, event and different ones. And there was one you were going to go to on your own, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, you inherited a little bit of my shyness, I think, sometimes. But he's like, I'm going to go by myself. And one of the things I told you to do was to sit near one of the microphones. And when it's time, if they take Q&A, stand up and ask a really good question, because that way it's like you introduce yourself to a room. Yep. And you did that, right? And you did that.
Oh, I did that. That was the New Media Expo in 2015, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I had already connected with a lot of podcast hosts that I'd booked guests with. So like Jamie Masters of Eventual Millionaire and John Lee Dumas. And so there were a number of podcast hosts that I knew through online, you know, pitching them and things like that. So I had some kind of virtual, one of my clients had a friend that was going to be there. I was like, look out for Jessica. So there were some people that I knew. Rosemary mm-hmm. Nickel was there. And I asked the question in Jamie's session and you said, introduce yourself. And so I was like, I'm Jessica Rhodes, the founder of Interview Connections. We book podcast guests, you know? And so I asked my question and then Jamie, who knows me was like, oh yeah, she's amazing. If you need podcast guests, like reach out to her. And so after that, and I had a little manila folder with like a flyer about what we do. And so I had that. And so then afterwards, all these people came up to me and were like, wait, you book podcast interviews? And so I've got a picture somewhere of me in my little gray blazer that I probably bought at Kohl's and was like ready to go.
Oh, so great. I mean, it's so great. You know, I forget the exact turning point, but just compressing for our half hour here. At some point you were like, you zoomed past even $500,000 and you were growing and growing. But then, you know, you really started to get, I think, feeling stressed and overworked and things like that. And you made a really big decision to bring on a partner in your business, Margie.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of, I mean, I had a partnership once. It didn't work. We're still good friends today, but many partnerships don't work. You guys have done very well together. So a couple of things. What made you want to take on a partner? And, you know, if it's somebody's listening about thinking about creating a partnership, what are some tips that you can give? Because you guys are still great friends and all that.
Oh yeah. You know, 2017 is when I started hiring employees, and it was at one of your events, your Dream Business Academies, where, you know, Carmen Torres did the presentation about having employees versus contractors. And it was in that moment I was like, okay, we need to have employees. And so Margie was the first full-time employee. That year was one of the most challenging years in business. There's maybe two or three years in the 11 that it's just like, whoa, that was a doozy. Don't want to redo that year. And 2017 was one of them. And she, as an employee, was my right hand. Like, we really did act as partners that year, even though she was a full-time employee. And so then 2018, it was just very clear that I had gotten to the end of what my vision was for the business. I wanted to grow a six-figure business. I wanted employees in an office. And then once I hit that vision, I was like, now what? Like, yeah. I don't know what else to do. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. I just was kind of at an end. And then Margie was really, you know, starting to thrive and had these visions. And so, we decided to become equal business partners. And, you know, we went through a lot of personal development work. We did a whole personal development program at Landmark, and that gave us the foundation of like a lot of communication strategies to work through any disagreements or miscommunications. Because, I mean, one of the biggest things that can tear down a partnership is just misunderstandings, disagreements. I thought you meant this. What do you mean by that? Like, and we have seen it, like the two of us still will see partnerships come together and crumble. And we're just like, ooh, like,
yeah.
But, you know, going through and having that support, we've worked with many different coaches over the years, and it's been helpful to always have some type of coach who can, you know, it's almost like that couples counselor who can be that third party objective that can say, you know, oh, Margie, you're, you know, and can observe what Margie brings to the table and can observe what I bring to the table and help us see that in each other. And we always see each other anyway, but again, just having that outside support and, you know, those communication strategies to work through any potential disagreements or misunderstandings has been really, really critical. And just always talking about the future too, of like, you know, what do you want and how are you feeling? And just always understanding each other. And I think a lot of people who get a business partner, they rush in so fast with no conversation and no, oh, I can't even tell you how many partnerships get started and there's no contract. They don't bring in a lawyer and they're just like, it's so great. Like, we're best friends and let's put a program together. And I'm like, have you had a contract? Have you had a conversation about what happens if one of you gets into a coma? Like, we have had that. Like, you have to have these conversations about what is going to happen. This is an entity that you co-own. So do the legal stuff, even though you're besties and it's so fun and we're going to do such great things together. Get a lawyer. Lay it all out, have conversations, and that will just save you, because you want to plan for the worst when you're experiencing great times.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, I did my no hassle marketing with Bobby DiRocco, and we did that. We invested like $2,000 in a document, right? And everything. Because what happens if somebody's career goes skyrocketing while the other one's just here and this, that, and the other thing? And so somebody's going to be, I'm working harder than you. And we figured all that out. And ultimately, it didn't work for other reasons, but we just followed the plan, dissolved it, made each other whole, and that was it. So,
yeah,
really important. So I told you early on when you started Interview Connections, I said, when you grow this thing and prove concept, you're going to have hundreds of people copying and doing that. And that certainly has come to fruition. What I'm so proud of for you and Margie and the business is, well, a lot of people are just like, you know, three bookings for this or whatever. You guys have really maintained that high road, right? I don't know, I mean high road, but yeah. You don't even attempt to compete with the lower price options. We'll just leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you are a full-fledged agency with employees and everything. So why did you, was there a point where you had to make that decision, or did it just keep naturally evolving to that?
I mean, I think it kept naturally evolving to that because we always, and this was something that Margie definitely brought to the table as a business partner and as CEO, is like, that vision to always be the highest quality and most innovative booking agency. And so always keeping our focus on that vision, that North Star, has made it so we're not, because when you're constantly looking at your competitors and trying to, like, comparison is such a big pitfall in anything, in relationships, in friendships, in business. Like, when you start comparing yourself, it is a recipe for disaster. And so that's really important. You know, we try to stay aware of what the competition is doing without comparing. So, yeah, it's always just been a natural gut instinct to focus on, okay, what is the highest quality for us? Integrity is everything. So, for example, a lot of our competitors will say, oh, we guarantee that all the bookings will have at least 1,000 listeners. That can't be, like, right there, that's out of integrity, because only the podcast host of the show will know the number of listeners. So I'm like, how can you even make that claim? And so I lose business sometimes because I can't guarantee or tell a client how many listeners a show has. And so some people will choose to go with the agency that will tell them what they want to hear, even if it's not true. And so, yeah, sometimes it's difficult because you're just like, God, if I could... you kind of just have to stick to your values. And so for us, integrity is really important, and just being honest with people about what the strategy is, what it's not. And there's a lot of education that goes in, because people are coming into podcasting and podcast guesting not understanding that it's a very niche targeted strategy. So anyway, I could go on, but
You know, I've told you this, and I mean it, and it's not blowing smoke because you're my daughter. You're like the best salesperson I've ever met. I mean, you are tenacious, and you got a lot of your training. Well, some of your training was door-to-door canvassing, which is knocking on doors, asking for money for a nonprofit that you were working for.
Yeah.
And that's, even Dan Kennedy always said, that's like the greatest training. Either, you know, you're selling fire extinguishers or whatever you're selling door-to-door, roofing and siding. That's like great, great training. And one of the things I admire about what you and Margie have done with the business, Margie has really, whether she started that way or it just became apparent, the visionary in a way. And I don't just mean the visionary of new things, but the big picture. And you have stayed in your zone, what our friend Melanie calls your zone of genius, right? You're the person who can just talk about the business, talk about the ROI of doing this, and talk about everything. And That's really sales in a nutshell, right?
For sure. Yeah. And that was a really big part of, you know, when Margie became a business partner, because what we've learned and have experienced is in so many businesses and, you know, agencies, especially service-based companies where you do build out a team, the founder stays in that CEO seat a little bit too long, where they start to kind of lose that vision. You look at big companies, 7-8-figure, 9-figure companies, the founder rarely stays the CEO. Companies need fresh leadership. They need new visionaries. And so Margie, as the executive in the company, I mean, she's looking at our cash flow. She's looking at, you know, the finances, payroll, all this stuff, while I'm here yapping about podcast guesting every day on video. Because somebody's got to be doing that, right? Somebody, that's like, it. You need the face to be out there talking and marketing and selling, but somebody also has to be running the company. And so that partnership is just really, really important.
Well, this is all about some of the risk and reward and challenges of your building your successful business. But let's talk shop just for a minute, because maybe somebody's like, I still haven't done any guesting or whatever. So what's the big reason somebody would want to be a guest on somebody else's podcast? Why is that such a great marketing tool?
Yeah. I mean, number one, it's visibility to other people's audiences. So if you're, you know, I'm sure a lot of coaches are watching this. If you're a coach and you need new clients, you want dream clients, you need to be visible. You need people to get to know you. And people want to work with a coach. They want to work with a company where they trust the entrepreneur. They trust that person. They feel aligned with them. I mean, one of the biggest reasons podcast guesting has worked so well for you is, like, you're out there, Captain Jim Palmer, you're in your RV, like, you're like, it's a whole, your whole story and your values and what you bring to the table. That's what people align with. It's who you are, not just what you do, which is something that you've always taught, is like, it's people aren't going to buy your service or become your client because, you know, oh, you're the cheapest or you're the best. I mean, everyone says they're the best. They're going to work with you because they trust you. They feel like they know you. And podcast guesting is the best way to do that. One of our clients recently told me that for podcast guesting over the last 8 months has been more effective than 4 years of marketing on social media alone.
Wow.
It's so hard to stand out on social media. And that's kind of the initial thing. Everyone's got Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. I'll just post. And you're like, how do I was just on a consult call an hour ago. And she's like, it feels like it's such a crowded marketplace. I said, it feels that way because you're trying to grab people's attention while they're scrolling the feed. But if you're on a podcast, you have someone's undivided attention for 30 minutes. That's incredible.
Yes.
You're never going to get someone to stop scrolling for 30 minutes. Forget about it.
Not the least of which is the person that's interviewing you, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a genuine connection. You know, I didn't total it up, but I think it was close to or slightly over 300 interviews that I did. This is my 610th podcast, but I was on about 300 as a guest. And one of the things that I don't know who originated, but I call it seed-based marketing or seed, you know, where you're talking about giving a great answer with some value for the audience and everything, but you're also dropping, you know, some seeds about who you are, what you do, and your business. So I thought that was a really great combination. You know, when you started getting me booked, so this is going back to the very early days of this industry, which you started, you said, Dad, you got these different books. You know, you got No Hassle newsletters, the coaching, you got these different, back then, I think even had a Pinterest program, all these different things. And it's way too much to keep flowing all this information over the transom. And you came up with the one sheet, yeah, like a brief thing that could be sent. Talk about how that came about.
Yeah. You know, we invented the one sheet because when I was pitching podcast hosts, I would write a great email. I would share a great story about, you know, who you are and what you could talk about. But hosts want to just see at a glance what they can ask you about, who you are, you know, so that one pager is a designed one page PDF. It has your bio. It has some topics hosts can ask you. It has questions that hosts can ask you when you've interviewed hundreds of people on your podcast over the years, probably thousands easily. Mm-hmm. And if somebody doesn't give you a one sheet, that makes your job harder. You now have to research and come up with what to ask. But if they give you a one sheet, yeah, there's going to be natural follow-up questions in conversation, but maybe you get to kind of the end of a flow and it's like, let me look at the one sheet. And how about this? You know, and you ask the question as if it was natural to you. And it's great as the guest because you can really like position yourself well. You can create topics that set you up for success, that set you up to be talking about the things you want your audience to hear.
You know, it's always fascinated me the relationship that can start in this half hour, which it's usually 5 or 10 minutes earlier. You stay 5 or 10 minutes. So you get this genuine conversation. And more than a few times people ask me, well, why have you done it for so long? I said, well, the answer should be obvious. So I'm not going to do anything that doesn't work. I mean, I've literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in coaching by guesting and by doing my podcast. So it's a phenomenal way to get the word out, and you get to stay home. So you could wear shorts. I got a nice shirt on, but I got shorts and no shoes. So that's the great thing about being in your home office. Jess, your story is so exciting. And so where's Jess and Margie going to be going in the near future?
Yeah. I mean, we're continuing to grow the company. I think it's a lot of, this question is always funny because a lot of entrepreneurs, there's like shiny objects. There's like, mm-hmm, I'm launching this thing and I'm doing this. You know, for us, it's really continuing to fine tune the program, which we've got our Amplified Authority program. Just, it is the most perfect it's ever been. You know, when I started, it was like month to month and then just the bookings. And then we started adding in the discovery sessions, and it's gotten to the point where I'm like, it is chef's kiss. So perfect. We're coaching our clients. We're doing interview audits. We have networking calls. Like, it's so good. So we're continuing to build it. You know, it's just back end business stuff, working on increasing renewals and referrals and closing more sales and reaching new audiences. Just continuing to expand the business. That's really what we're focusing on.
That's awesome. That's why I wanted to have you on last, because the story, I mean, it's only 11 years.
And yeah.
You built a powerhouse company. So I couldn't be more proud of you. So what's the, I think I gave it anyway, but interviewconnections.com, interviewconnections with an S, right?
Interviewconnections.com. Yeah. Interviewconnections.com. It's just crazy. This was literally the first podcast that I booked for, and now it's the last episode. It's so wild.
I know, next Wednesday at 3:00, I don't know what I'll be doing, but I won't be doing this.
I mean, not many podcasts go for over a decade. It's so incredible.
Yeah, it was interesting because I made the decision probably about 2 months ago. It was like the springtime. And I've always done this in full disclosure because it's a way to connect with potential coaching clients. I'm good. I'm booked through the rest of this year. I'm like, well, why would I keep doing that? And so, I mean, that's the cold, hard truth about it. So anyway, Jessica, continued success, obviously. I'm very, very proud of you.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks for having me on for your last episode. This was awesome.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with the amazing and awesome Jessica Rhodes, who happens to be one of my daughters. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com. But that's it. That's a wrap for episode 610, our final episode of Dream Business Radio. Until I retire at the end of this year, Stephanie and I are just enjoying semi-retirement, we call it. I'm down to 2 days a week. We're traveling around in this motorhome. And just look forward to staying connected with you in social media. And we'll still do a little bit of email. I did make an announcement last week before I go, because it's my last opportunity to tell you this. I have room for maybe two or three at the most clients. And I've always had a one-year commitment. But since I'm only here for six more months, if you had something you want to do in a more expedited way, faster session, you know, not necessarily a full year commitment, now would be the time to talk to me. Send me an email at jim@getjimpalmer.com. But that's it. And I usually say until this time next week, but I'll say until this time, I don't know when. I'm Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. Thanks again, Jess. You guys, everybody take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.